Okay, the topic that I wanted to discuss today is something which is a little bit off the beaten path, but probably addresses, or hopefully addresses, things that some of us may be wondering about, and that is based on a mitzvah that we have in the parasha this week, one of the most curious mitzvahs that we have in the Torah, and that is at the very beginning of Parshas Truma. So the Torah says, "Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham." Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Hashem says that you should make for me a mikdash, and I will dwell b'socham. I will dwell in their midst, which we are told means, and the Sefer Chinuch brings it. The Rambam says it also in Sefer HaMitzvos, that this means livnos bayis l'shem Hashem. That we are commanded here in the Torah to build a house, so to speak, l'shem Hashem. What does it mean to build a house for Hashem, right? We know, after all, that Hashem is not, that we believe one of the ikrim of the Torah is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is no tmus haguf, there is no concept of gashmius. So how is it that Hashem should need a house? So he explains here, klomer sheniyah makrivim sham karbonoseinu elov, that we should bring our karbonos to him, that we should offer our karbonos there to him. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, as stated here in the Sefer HaChinuch, is that there should be a place that we should bring karbanos. We know, after all, that the karbanos were one of the central parts, was and will be one of the central parts of Yiddishkeit, right? We know the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Pirkei Avos that al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omeid, that the world stands on three things: al haTorah, v'al haAvoda, v'al gemilas chasadim. Right, the Torah we know, gemilas chasadim we know. What is Avoda? So Avoda means, the way all the Rishonim say, Avoda means the karbanos. Right, so the bringing of karbanos was a central source of a bond that existed between the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Klal Yisrael, and therefore we are told that the central feature of the Beis HaMikdash is that there should be a place to bring karbanos. And not just that, but he says it should be the Aliyah L'Regel, this should be a place that the Jews would come every year, a pilgrimage three times a year, the Kibbutz Kol Yisrael, B'chol Shana. Okay, this is the mitzvah, V'asuli Mikdash. And then the Chinuch continues and says, V'zos HaMitzvah Kolelas Imo HaKelim HaTzrichim B'Beis right, this mitzvah includes not just the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but building the kelim that are needed, kegon haMenorah vaShulchan vaMizbeach, right, the central features of the Mishkan, and subsequently the Mikdash, where the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, and that all of that is included in the mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash. So this is one of the Tariyag mitzvahs. One of the 613 mitzvahs is to build a Beis HaMikdash. Now the question is, if that mitzvah is one of the Tariyag mitzvahs, so how does that apply to us today? So what does that mean? Do we have this mitzvah? Was this only a mitzvah at certain select times? So if you look further on the sheet, the Chinuch says at the end, the Sefer HaChinuch always at the end of his discussion of every mitzvah gives a brief summary of when does this mitzvah apply. So sure enough, the Chinuch says, "V'noheges mitzvah zu b'zman sherov Yisrael al admasan." So the Chinuch says that this mitzvah applies only in a time when it's rov Yisrael al admasan, when the majority of Jews are in Eretz Yisrael. And then he says further, "V'zu min haMitzvah she'enem mutolos al hayochid kiyem al hatzibur kulam," that this is a mitzvah that pertains really on the entire tzibur, it's not on any specific person. When the Beis HaMikdash will be built, so then we will fulfill this mitzvah. So it seems that according to the Sefer HaChinuch, we have an answer to the question of the shir 5 minutes into the shir, which is, the question was, can we build the Beis HaMikdash today? So he says that this mitzvah applies when it's Rov Yisrael al admasan, when the majority of Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael. And I guess that's not the case today. There are many Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not the majority. So it would come out, according to this, that this mitzvah would not be noheg in our time. However, there is a very big question which many people ask on this statement of the Chinuch, which is that when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, so also you did not have Rov Yisrael Ad Maslan. In fact, you probably had far less Jews living in Eretz Yisrael at the time of the binyan of the second Beis HaMikdash than you have today. So therefore, how is it that they built it then? Right, when they came back with Ezra, led by Ezra and others, Rubavel, the people who led the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so they didn't have Rov Yisrael Ad Maslan at that time either. So there are different answers that are given, and I don't want to get into the complexity of it, but according to at least one of the answers, it's possible to say, one of the Achronim wants to say an idea, which is, I don't want to go into depth in this, but he says an idea, which is that if it's possible for people to go back, and they don't go back, that doesn't count. In other words, when the Chinuch says that it's when it's Berov Yisrael Alad Masan, that's only in a situation where the people who aren't there. In other words, when do we require that the majority of Jews should be there? That's when people don't have the choice. When people don't have the choice, so then if the majority are there, the minority can't come. Not just they don't come, but they can't come. That's what the Chinuch was referring to. However, there's from the Gedolei Achronim people who say that in a situation, they base this on Gemara, that in a situation where people could come, but they don't, so they sort of forfeit their rights. In other words, they don't have a say in this matter. They can't drive the situation and say, well, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash. This is what they want to say. That being the case, so the question would now come up, so what about today? What about today? Why don't we build the Beis HaMikdash today? Right? We have today many Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And even those of us who don't, in most cases is because we choose not to, which is a discussion in its own right, whether that's the right choice. But nevertheless, we choose not to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, what about building the Beis HaMikdash now? What do we have to wait for? What are we waiting for? Right, in 1967, the Ribbono Shel Olam graced us that Yerushalayim came back, the Har HaBayis, the Kosel Maravi, all came back into Jewish hands. The result of the Six-Day War, we got back the key parts of Yerushalayim. And really, you know, so the possibility is there. The possibility is there. Now, you will say to me that that's really baloney. The possibility is not there because of the fact that the political reality is that we can't do it because there is a mosque that's been sitting there for over 1,000 years. And in reality, today probably more than ever before, we don't have the opportunity because of the political upheaval, and it probably, you know, Chalila would trigger an enormous uprising and undoubtedly a war if anyone attempted to do such a thing. But let's talk in theory for a minute. Let's say we got everybody together and we made them an offer they couldn't refuse. And I tell them, you know, people do relocation all the time, you know. All the real estate people know that, you know, you want a house. You go make them an offer they can't refuse. Right? So we'll get everybody, we'll get all the Jews together and we'll chip in. We have an opportunity to build a Beis HaMikdash. Let's say they would agree. Let's just say for a minute, you'll tell me it's a fantasy. Okay. So such fantasies we could have, you know, let's see if we could build a Beis HaMikdash. What would be, could we or could we not? So I think the answer that what most people have in their minds, we just go daily with the assumption that Mashiach is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That the building of the Beis HaMikdash will not take place until after Mashiach comes. Which we really say every day, we just said a few minutes ago, right, at the end of every Shemoneh Esrei, Yeretzon Fanecha, Sheyibana Beis HaMikdash Shemher V'Yomeinu, that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. Right? We have to ask ourselves, you know, so who says that? You know, that tefillah was made up a long time ago, and many, many generations, Jews said that prayer, they had no opportunity to do anything about it. Right? Maybe in the last period of time, you know, who knows? Maybe something could have been done. Why do we just resign ourselves to the fact? Let's see, maybe we could do something about that. So in reality, there is no open discussion. There is no section halacha which discusses this. However, it seems that there are three basic opinions that we find in terms of when the Beis Hamikdash will be built, the Beis Hamikdash HaOsid, right? The Beis Hamikdash that we yearn for, when will that be built? So the commonly held belief that the Beis Hamikdash will not be built until Mashiach comes actually seems to be the opinion of the Rambam, who says in the 11th parak of the Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam, when he speaks about Mashiach, he says, "Hamelach HaMashiach Osid Lamod Ulahachzir Malchus Beis David Lioshna," that the Mashiach that will arise will restore the Malchus Beis David, the Jewish monarchy, to the way it was. Ubone HaMikdash UMekabitz Nitche Yisrael. That Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash and will gather in the exiles of the Klal Yisrael. This is what the Rambam says. Where the Rambam gets this from, we'll see in a minute. But this is what he says, and it seems, therefore, clearly that the Rambam says that the Beis HaMikdash will be built, that the Beis HaMikdash will be built by Mashiach. However, we find in the Yerushalmi, we find in the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, in the fifth parak of Ma'aser Sheni, a conflicting statement. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, these sources do not appear on the sheet. It says, Amar Rabbi Acha, Zos Omeres, Shebeis HaMikdash, Osid Lehibonos, Koldim L'Malchus Beis David. That in fact, says the Yerushalmi, that the Beis HaMikdash will be built before the Malchus Beis David will be restored, which seems to mean, before even the way it's understood, is that even before the coming of Mashiach, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and he quotes the Pasuk in Hazinu, the Tziv, V'dam Einav Tishtechomer, right, which the way the Chazal interpret the Pasuk would indicate that the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt sooner. That the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt, will be rebuilt, before the restoration of the Malchus Beis David, which seems to mean before even the arrival of Mashiach. That's the second opinion. A third opinion, which is also, I think, widely known, is the famous opinion that the Beis HaMikdash HaOsid is not going to be built by anybody. That the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from heaven. Right, where does it say this? So this is found in Rashi on the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Mem Aleph. Rashi says this to explain a very difficult Gemara. So Rashi says that the Beis HaMikdash HaOsid, he says, Av HaMikdash HaOsid Shanu Mitzapin Bonoi U'Meshuchlohu Yigola, that it will come, it will not need to be built at all. That the Beis HaMikdash that is destined to be built, that we are destined to have, will not be built by a human being. It'll be built in Shamayim. How is this? This is based on the pasuk that we just said a little while ago. Shemar Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yodecha. That the Mikdash of Hashem with Konenu Yodecha, prepared by Yodecha. Yodecha means by God, right? That your hands will prepare the Beis HaMikdash. Based on that, there are those who say that the third Beis HaMikdash will not be built at all by a human being. So you have three opinions. You have the opinion of the Rambam who says that the Beis HaMikdash will be built by Mashiach, which sort of would mean that we're out of the picture. You have the opinion of the Yerushalmi who says that the Beis HaMikdash will be built before Mashiach, in which case we are very much in the picture. And then you have the opinion of Rashi in the Gemara in Sukkah, which is that the Beis HaMikdash will be built b'shamayim, in which case we're totally out of the picture. Okay, so you have three opinions. But at least according to the Yerushalmi, right, now you'll say, well, we don't follow the opinions of the Yerushalmi when it's against the Bavli, and the Rambam seems to base it on the Bavli. What do I mean by that? Because we have, the Gemara says in Megillah, and really the Tfilis that we say reflect this, if you ever study the structure of the Shmon Esrei, so the Gemara in Megillah, that the Zion, discusses why the brachas and the Shmon Esrei were put in the order that they are, and if you look, you will see that we say towards the second half of the Shmon Esrei, first we speak about the Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Toshuv. That's the first tefillah that we say, that Hashem should come back to Yerushalayim. Then we say, Esemach David Avdecha Meheres Atzmiach, a tefillah that Mashiach should come. And then we say later on, V'hoshev Esavo, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu V'amcha Yisrael, V'hoshev Esavo V'levir Beisecha, that the avoda should be returned to the environs of your house, which the Gemara says is a sequence in which the Geula is supposed to come. That first Yerushalayim will be built up, then there will be Mashiach, and then there will be the Beis HaMikdash, right? Which could be a little bit, we see unfolding in front of our eyes. But the fact of the matter is that this is a sequence that's supposed to happen in terms of the coming of the Geula, and therefore, as such, it would come out according to that, that according to the Gemara, this, that many people say this is where the Rambam got his opinion from, that it's only after a Semach David Avdecha Meheres Atzmiach, the special tefillah for Mashiach, right, that Hashem should send Mashiach, it's only then that we say, V'hoshev es avodah l'vir beisecha, that may the avodah return to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that there will not be a Beis HaMikdash to that point. So, people want to say, based on that, that it would come out that our Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, is of the opinion that the Beis HaMikdash is not relevant until after Mashiach, and despite the fact that the Yerushalmi says to the contrary, but we would follow the opinion of the Bavli. However, it is pointed out that there's an explanation which is given by one of the Pirushim on the Mishnayos, Maaseh HaMelech, one of the Achronim, who says that in reality we could say that the Bavli and Yerushalmi are not arguing. And that is because they want to say that we know that the Geula could come in two ways. Right? We have the famous pasuk, Ani Hashem Be'itach Ishena, that Hashem says that in the proper time I will hasten the redemption. So the Gemara asks, what is that supposed to mean? If it's at the time, what does it mean you're going to hasten the redemption? Right? If it's at the time, you're not making it come quicker. And if you're making it come quicker, it's not at the time. So the Chazal says, is well known, that what the Pasuk is trying to teach us is that there are two different ways the Geula could come. The Geula could come v'ita, meaning that even if the Klal Yisrael do not merit that Mashiach should come, even if the Klal Yisrael never did a mass tshuva to the degree that it is demanded, nevertheless, there is a time that Mashiach will come. We spoke about this a while back, right? That this is the case that Yaakov Avinu was going to tell his children, right? That the worst comes to worst, this is when Mashiach is going to come. However, there is another possibility that Achishena, Hashem says, I will hasten it. If I will hasten it, that means that if the Klal Yisrael were to do tshuva, then the Geula would come faster. And therefore, the Mefarshim want to say that, therefore, based on this, that the Gemara that we have, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, would not be arguing. Because if the Geula is going to come to Ito, if it's going to come at the right time, meaning at the time without the Klal Yisrael's efforts, so to speak, that it's going to come at the deadline that God had set, then it's going to be in the way that the Beis HaMikdash, then it would be in a situation that the Beis HaMikdash would actually be first. In other words, if it's going to be Achishena, if it's going to be hastened, so if it's going to be hastened, what does that mean? That means that all of a sudden Mashiach is going to come, right? If all of a sudden Mashiach is going to come, we're going to get caught flat-footed, so Mashiach will come, and then we'll build the Beis HaMikdash. However, if it's going to be Be'ito, if it's going to be at the time, then the way it's going to play out is that the Beis HaMikdash would actually be built first. That the Beis HaMikdash would actually be built first before the coming of Mashiach. In which case, so we have to ask ourselves the question, that means that it's possible. That means that it's possible that this could happen. In other words, that it's possible that the Klal Yisrael can build the Beis HaMikdash before the coming of Mashiach. And that being the case, why don't we, you know, it's true, as I said before, from a practical standpoint, it doesn't seem realistic, but how come nobody even tries? Right? Nobody makes any sort of effort. So in reality, the Minchas Chinuch, it's brought on the sheet, the Minchas Chinuch says what we would consider to be a very radical thing. The Minchas Chinuch says that in fact he quotes two sources. Okay, the Minchas Chinuch says in the paragraph that's on the sheet. Can I just show you to that the one that's there? Yeah, I got it. Thank you. I'm sorry, came unprepared. The Minchas Chinuch, which is on the second side of the first sheet, says about six lines down from the top. He says, "V'gam hayom." Says the Minchas Chinuch, this was written in the 19th century, he says that even today, Efshar, it is possible, Shem Yitnu Hamalchius Rishus Livnos Beis HaMikdash Mitzvah Livnos, that if today we would be given permission by the authorities to build the Beis HaMikdash, that it would be a mitzvah to do so. How do we know this? So he says, Kamavur B'medrash. And he quotes, now here, he starts to bring proofs. In other words, how do we know? We've mentioned till now the different opinions. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, a later authority, and he says, well, I'll prove it to you. Because we find in the Medrash Rabbah, in Parshas Bereishis, that it says, Bimei Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, in the period of the Tana, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, which is the famous Rabbi Yeshua, is mentioned in many Mishnayos, it says, the Nosnu Rishus, that there was a period of time after the Churban that they lobbied with the Roman authorities, and apparently they got permission and they started to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And unfortunately, the doesn't say the whole story, but apparently the efforts were aborted at a certain point. Maybe the permission was rescinded, but it seems that it was possible. In other words, when the Churban took place, it wasn't like they said, "Oh, forget it, you know, that's it. We have to wait until eventually Mashiach will come." And then he says further something which is even more astounding, and this we will talk about at length. And that is, he quotes it from a Sefer Kafos Tamarim, but we will see, I have it here on the final sheet, from the Sefer Kafta Raferach, Sherabenu Yechiel Baal HaTosfos Rotzo Leilech Lahakriv Karbonos Birushalayim. Now this is something that we have to take seriously, because the Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, who attempted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, so that was not that long after the Churban. That was not that long after the Churban, so he attempted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. However, you'll say, well, you know, maybe you'll start saying that was different, that was right after the Churban, you know. But in more, relatively speaking, more recent times, right, in the 1300s, which isn't so recent, but is a lot more recent than Rabbi Yeshua, in the 1300s, there was one of the Baalei HaTosfos, one of the Gedolim from the school of the Baalei HaTosfos in France, Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis, from Paris, who I guess got fed up with living in France, and he decided that he's going to go to Yerushalayim and bring Karbanos in Yerushalayim. He's going to go and build the Mizbeach, which we will soon speak about. So says the Minchas Chinuchim, Kenu Adin Livnos Reis HaMikdash. Right, if that's the case, it would come out that the saying, all right, so you see, there's a precedent for this. There is a precedent for this. In other words, whatever the source is, you have the Rambam, you have the Rishami, you have the Gemara Megillah, whatever it is, but it seems it's not out of the question, because we have a Maaseh Rav, we have a story from a real life story. This is not just theory. It's documented. There was a person, one of the Gedol Yisrael in the 14th century, who said that he wants to return to Yerushalayim and build a Mizbeach. That's what he wants to do. So apparently it's possible. Apparently it's possible. So what do we say? Right? So then the question again returns. So then how come we don't hear any talk about this? So the answer that's, now I'm sure people have answers. The most basic answer somebody will say is that how could we possibly rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? We're all Tameh, which we will speak about soon. But apparently you could ask him that question also. What happened to Rabbeinu Yechiel? Right? How is it that he was ready to do it? So apparently there's a way to work around that, which we'll see. There is possibly a way to work around that. So why then, the question is, why then don't we, why don't we hear any talk about this? Right? How come not? Especially today. Right? Especially today, where it's, you know, in the 14th century, I don't know what the situation was, but clearly there was, you know, only a handful of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. They had no control over anything. Today we have over a lot of things we brought up, we have control, right? So how come nobody said? No, it's not even in the dialogue, right? Nobody even speaks about why don't we make an effort to go and see what we can do? Go, maybe we'll go negotiate, you know? Go see if we could get the Beis HaMikdash up and running. Why not? So the answer to this that's given by many people, many of the later authorities, it's mentioned in many of the Achronim, is the fact that the Beis HaMikdash has to be built in exact, specific, very specific way. that the it's not like you could just get somebody in there and get an interior decorator and say, well, I have a great idea, you know, we'll stick to the original plan, right? We have to have a shulchan and a menorah and a mizbeach, right? There weren't that many things in the Beis HaMikdash, if you think about it, right? You had the shulchan, the menorah, and the mizbeach, right? You had the mizbeach HaKetoros, that is, the small mizbeach, which was inside the building. In the courtyard, you had the big mizbeach, which was the central part, really, of all the activity in the Beis HaMikdash. Not a whole lot else, right? A few other items. But, you know, so somebody will say, all right, so, you know, okay, we'll stick with that, and we'll go, and the rest, we'll bring in some of the top frum interior decorators, and we'll go make ourselves a nice Beis HaMikdash, right? We'll do even better, you know, even Herod, you know, Hordas, who renovated the Beis HaMikdash before it was destroyed, as the Gemara speaks about in Bava Basra, right? But today we could probably, you know, pull it together and we'll do it more modern way, you know, in line with the styles of today. So the answer is that that's not possible, because the Beis HaMikdash has to be built according to exact specifications. And the specifications for the building of the third Beis HaMikdash are mentioned in the Sefer Yecheskel. In the book of Yecheskel, it is mentioned there how the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be built, except for the fact that it's not clear. We're not clear on a number of the points. We're not clear on a number of the points. And if it's not built the right way, it shouldn't be built. And therefore, there are many people who feel that it's not an option to go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash. Is not an option, not a realistic option, even if it were possible, even theoretically if it were possible, because of the fact that we don't know how to do it. We plain and simply don't know how to do it the right way, to get everything the way it's supposed to be, that we need a Navi. And in fact, they point to a pasuk that we find also in the parasha yesterday, that it says, Kechol Asher, right after it speaks about, right after the pasuk V'asu Mikdash, it says, Kechol Asher Ani Mareh Oscha. Hashem says that it should be done exactly according to the way that I will show you. Es Tavnis HaMishkan, the way that the Mishkan is supposed to be constructed, there's Tavnis Kol Kelav, and the way all of the vessels are supposed to be constructed, the chayim tasu, and so you should do it. Says the Gemara, what does it mean, the chayim tasu? The Gemara in the Sefer Shavuah says, the chayim tasu l'doros, that this is the way it always has to be. In other words, even though yesterday's parsha spoke about the Mishkan, did not even directly speak about the Beis HaMikdash, right? As Hashem said to Moshe, you're going to build this exactly the way I'm going to tell you, says the Gemara that statement, V'chein Tasu, is L'doros. That's for all the generations. Meaning that any subsequent binyan, any subsequent building that's going to function as the Beis Hashem would have to be built through Hashem's direction. How are you going to get that? So in the opinion of many poskim, that could only be through a nevuah. That's, you need somebody who's going to say, T'chol Asher Ani Mareh Oscha. Hashem said, I'm going to show you how to do it. We need somebody who is a conduit for Hashem showing us how we're going to do it. So based on this, many, many people say that to go ahead and reconstruct the entire Beis HaMikdash is not feasible. It's not feasible because we don't know how to do it. In the dinyan of the first Beis HaMikdash, they had Nevi'im Shlomo himself, right, and others as well. In the second Beis HaMikdash, you had people like Ezra, who was a Navi. You had people giving them direction. And today, we don't have that, unfortunately. And therefore, that would be the impediment to building the Beis HaMikdash. And this seems to be the consensus of opinion, even though there are those who dispute it. But the consensus sounds like the Minchas Chinuch disputes it. But it sounds like the consensus of opinion would be that we could not build the Beis HaMikdash without a Navi, and therefore all the sources that we mentioned earlier, even when the Yerushalmi says that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt before Mashiach will come, that presumably means that there will be some person, that's going to happen if it's going to play out that way, there will be a person who, with some sort of Ruach HaKodesh, with some sort of power of Nevuah, to give the directions exactly how it should be built. So that takes care of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's left to discuss? So what's left to discuss is, though, the fact that we have this story from that the Minchas Chinuch quotes, which points to the fact that one of the Rishonim, right, Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis, had the thought that he was going to go back to Yerushalayim. Now the truth is, if you look carefully at what the Minchas Chinuch says, The Minchas Chinuch says that he wanted to go lahakriv karbonos b'Yerushalayim. It doesn't say specifically that he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. It just says that he wanted to bring karbonos in Yerushalayim. So you will say, well, obviously that means he was going to build the Beis HaMikdash, because of the fact that once the Beis HaMikdash was built, there was nowhere else, there are no other options, right? You must build the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara says once the Beis HaMikdash was built, it had to be always rebuilt in that exact spot. You couldn't say today, let's build the Beis HaMikdash somewhere else, even temporarily, let's make a temporary Beis HaMikdash till we can get the mosque out of there, and then eventually we'll move into the permanent house, because I'll say that can't be done. So if that's the case, what was this man thinking? So if you look, it's very interesting. If you look at the final sheet brings from the Sefer Tafter Vaferach. The Tafter Vaferach was written by one of the Rishonim, a Talmud of the Rosh, that he says he brings the top. The beginning of it was on a previous page, so we didn't copy it. It was cut off a little bit, but he says he brings Rabbeinu Yechiel de Paris on the very top line. On my Rabbi Yerushalayim. That was in the 17th year of the Elef Hashishi. We are now in the year 5769. So this happened in the year 5017. 5017. So 700, approximately 750 years ago, which would put us, actually earlier than what I said, that would put us in the 13th century, that this man wanted to go. He wanted to go to Yerushalayim. So, what did he want to do? So, it seems, and we'll get back to this in a second, that his plan was, he did not claim to be a Navi. His plan was not to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but rather, his plan was, we're just going to go ahead and build him his bath. Now, you'll say, what kind of thing is that? You're going to build him his bath. His plan was that he's going to go back to the original spot of the Mizbeach, because the Chazal say also, as brought in the Gemara, that says that the Mizbeach, the Rambam quotes it, that the Mizbeach, once it was built in this place that it was built, that's where it has to always be rebuilt. In other words, the Mizbeach, which was the central, probably the central part of the Beis HaMikdash on a day-to-day basis, most of the activity hovered around the Mizbeach, that's where all the Karbonos were brought, the great Mizbeach that stood in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, right? So he wanted to go, and he was, you know, there's an expression in Yiddish, a Yid gets a chenetza, right? A Jew always comes up with a way to work around the problem, right? So the mosque that stands in Yerushalayim today was there then too. Right, so now they probably also had the problem. These guys aren't interested in leaving, right? So what are we going to do? So he had a very practical solution. I'm not going to rebuild the whole Beis HaMikdash. All I'm going to do is go ahead and rebuild the Mizbeach. That's all, in his opinion, that's all that's needed. I want to go ahead and bring Karbonos. Why do we want to bring Karbonos? Because as we said at the beginning, the Karbonos are the central feature of the Beis HaMikdash and one of the central features of Yiddishkeit, right? Al HaTorah, Al HaAvodah, Al Gmilus HaSodim, right? That the three pillars of the world are Torah, Chesed, and Avodah. Avodah is explained to mean Karbonos. Right? So that means that if we had that opportunity, it would probably foster a greater relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom. Who knows what could come from that? So that's what he wanted to do. So he had the idea that I'm not going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, I'm just going to build the Mizbeach. Where did he get this idea from? You'll say, what kind of crazy thing is that? So in fact, this idea of building the Mizbeach without the Beis HaMikdash, if you turn back a page, the Rambam, in the sixth parak of the Hilchos Beis HaBechira, is based on a Gemara. The Rambam says, in Halacha, the end of you see where it says Tezvav, right before that, the Rambam quotes an opinion which is actually disputed in the Gemara, but he paskins in the Halacha that the Kedusha Rishona, Shekidsha Shlomo, that when Shlomo HaMelech sanctified the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, the Beis HaMikdash, in order for it to work, has to be dedicated. In order for it to have significance, has to be dedicated. And it has to be dedicated, the Gemara says, by one of four things. It has to be dedicated either by a king, or by a Navi, or by the Urim V'Tumim, or by the Sanhedrin. None of which we have. So says the Rambam, that's not a problem, because when Shlomo HaMelech originally dedicated the Beis HaMikdash, he had in mind that this is going to be not just for now, but I am consecrating this land, that this should be for the Beis HaMikdash forever. Forever. Shekidsha hu kiddush ha'azor Yerushalayim l'shaita, that he sanctified Yerushalayim, he sanctified the Beis HaMikdash for that time. The kiddush ha'son l'asad lavo, and he also sanctified it for all generations, even for the future. And therefore, the kiddusha, based on this psak of the Rambam, by the way, this is why people don't go up to the Har HaBayis. Right? Because you say today, we all know there is controversy about going on to the actual Har HaBayis, but let's say if you knew where the Beis HaMikdash stood, there is no question that you could not go there. Nobody would tell you that you could. Even those who say that you could go on to the Har HaBayis, which is a very minority opinion that's not accepted by the overwhelming majority of the Gedolei Yisrael. But nevertheless, that only applies to the part of the Har HaBayis where the Beis HaMikdash does not stand. And that is because the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis goes up in levels. It goes up in levels. So therefore, the Har HaBayis itself, the Beis HaMikdash, did not occupy the whole Har HaBayis. Right? Only occupied a part of it. So the surrounding part has Kedusha, but that Kedusha can be dealt with even today. Right? That Kedusha theoretically could be dealt with today. The halacha is that to go up to the Har HaBayis, there are certain people who are prohibited to go. The one that would be most relevant to a man would be a person who had an emission, a seminal emission of semen, right? A person who was called in the halacha Balkeri could not go up onto the Har HaBayis. Any man could not go up onto the Har HaBayis. However, that tumah can be dealt with by immersion in a mikveh, right? You go to the mikveh, and that problem goes away easily. Right, so that if that were the right, the people today who say that you could go up there, that's what they're basing it on, right? Because they say that the widely held belief that you can't go up there no matter what, because we don't have the Parah Adumah, we'll see in a minute, that does not apply to the Har HaBayis. That only applies to the place where the Beis HaMikdash stood. The place where the Beis HaMikdash stood is a higher level of Kedusha, and that level of Kedusha precludes even a person who's Tamei Meis. A person who's Tamei Meis could go on, in other words, a person who became Tamei from contact with a dead body, right, whether it's direct contact or he's under the same roof, which would apply to just about all of us, and maybe not Kohanim, but just about everyone else, right? So such a person could not enter into the environs of the Beis HaMikdash at all, and the only way to get out of that problem is to be sprinkled with the ashes of the Parah Adumah, and that's a big problem. Because we haven't had a Parah Adumah there has not been one on record since the end of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. In the whole history of the Klal Yisrael, I think it's brought down, there were only 9 Parah Adumahs in history, and therefore the one that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the ashes carried them through not just through the time of the Midbar but all the way through the entire period of the first Beis HaMikdash. Right? Apparently the halacha makes it in such a manner that people come to me lameis often, right? But nevertheless apparently the ashes of one parah yield a tremendous amount. But nonetheless, this we don't have. There's no Parah Adumah that we're aware of. That would be a big problem, right? However, you will say, so that's what stops anybody from going into the place where the Beis HaMikdash stood. So you will say, but there's no Kedusha there anymore, right? Why is there a problem? The Beis HaMikdash stood, there was Kedusha. When there was Kedusha, you couldn't go. But now there's no Kedusha anymore. The answer is this Rambam. This Rambam is the answer. Because the Rambam is telling us that when Shlomo HaMelech dedicated the Beis HaMikdash, he made it that the Kedusha should be not just for then, but that the Kedusha should be for all time. And based on that, even though right now there is no remnant to the Beis HaMikdash, and not only that, but we blanch every time we see what is there, nevertheless, the Kedusha is still there. You know, to give forgive the analogy, but like in a certain sense, you know, if a house burns down, it could be that the electricity is still coming through the wires, right? In other words, the electric company is still sending the electricity, right? So even though the house is destroyed, but if you put a new house and hooked up new appliances, they would work, right? Because the power is still there. And so it is. The power, according to the Rambam, the power is still there, and therefore we could go, that says the Rambam, the Kedusha is there. Now, what does that do for us? So the Rambam continues in Tesvav and says the following shocking statement. Says the Rambam, Lufikach, therefore, Makrivin Karbonus Kulon Afal Pi She'ein Sham Bayis Banoi, that we could bring all of the Karbonus even without the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because what do you need? What do you need in order for the Mizbeach to work? You need the power. What gives it the power? The power comes not from the building of the Beis HaMikdash, not from the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash. It comes from the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Rambam, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is still there. It's still there. So there, the Mizbeach isn't there anymore. But if one went ahead and attempted to build a new Mizbeach, it would seem, based on this Rambam, that it would work. That the Mizbeach would function. And it would be valid. A person who brought a carbon on such a thing, on such a Mizbeach, would be okay. And the Achronim say that this is what Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis, that Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, this is what he was thinking. He was basing himself on this Rambam. He agreed with the Psa. He was not a contemporary of the Rambam, but shortly after the time of the Rambam, he had his own opinion. He agreed with what the Rambam said. And therefore, that's what he was trying to do. And based on this, We find a remarkable thing in the previous century, in the 1800s, we find that one looks in the Sfarim of the Achronim, that apparently it was connected with the fact when Jews began to go back to Eretz Yisrael in the late 1800s, so the talk started again that maybe even if we can't have the Beis HaMikdash because Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis, excuse me, because we don't have a Navi, and because of the fact that, the political reality is that it's not going to allow for that, but what about the Mizbeach? You know, the Mizbeach, I don't know the way it's situated, but maybe, today I don't think you'd get anything out of them. But, once upon a time, maybe that possibility existed. And you say, listen, you can keep your mask, it's fine. We just want to build the Mizbeach. We're going to rebuild the Mizbeach in the place that it stood, and we're going to bring Karbonis. And this discussion came up seriously amongst Gedolei Achronim, is discussed by the Chassam Sofer, is discussed by Rabbi Yaakov Emden, discussed by many people, and it was put forth in very strong terms in a kuntris, in a booklet that was written by one of the distinguished Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva Eger. The great Rabbi Akiva Eger had a Talmud whose name was Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, who lived in the second half of the 19th century, who wrote a book called Drishas Tzion, in which he makes the forceful argument that this should be pursued. And bases it on the story of Rabbeinu Yechiel, and he bases it on this Rambam, and he says, why not? Why not? Let's go do it. And that being the case, the question is, so why not? And especially since we saw in the beginning that the Sefer HaChinuch says that the mitzvah that's mentioned in yesterday's parsha, Va'asuli Mikdash, includes the building of the Kelim. Even if you don't build the whole building, but if you build the Kelim, the Sefer HaChinuch says clearly, if you build the Mizbeach, you would fulfill the mitzvah, or at least partially fulfill the mitzvah of Va'asuli Mikdash. Maybe it's possible. Why don't we pursue that? So, the reality is that this sefer that I referred to, Drishas Tzion, which I was able actually to get a hold of last week with a little effort, right, that this sefer generated a great deal of controversy in Eastern Europe, and probably more than any other question that came up at that time, he heard from everybody, right? It said the man who wrote it was not timid by any stretch of the imagination, because he writes that after he wrote all of his chedushim, he actually mailed them out to all the Gedolei HaRabbonim in Europe to see what they said, and he writes there that if anyone has anything to argue, I'm ready to argue. He writes that. He says, if you have something to say back, please let me know and I'll argue with you. And sure enough, he got it from a lot of directions. But basically, what it came down to, there's great, but there are different shuvas that were written, that back and forth, and so some people, it's very, very strongly worded shuvas, very sharp. There's one person who wrote that, like, almost, you know, he's, he's out of his mind. But it's not just based on talk. It's based on it would be impossible to go through all the sources. They're quoting from all over the Shas and all over the Poskim, all kinds of different sources that would indicate, is it possible, is it not possible? But basically, they identified three central issues. There are three central issues, and the first one is what we alluded to earlier, namely, how in the world is this possible if everybody is Tameh? If everybody is Tameh, how in the world can anybody go up there to the Mizbeach and go, and even Kohanim, there's a presumption, right, that we would never say that even though a Kohen avoids Tameh Meis, obviously, but nevertheless, nobody is presumed to be on the level of Tara that one would take the chance to wander into the grounds of the Beis HaMikdash, right? After all, the punishment for a person defiling the Kodesh, right? Tumas Mikdash, right, is punishable by Karetz, right? Which is not something that anybody wants to roll the dice on. So therefore, so who in the world is going to go up to bring these Karbonos? That's issue number one. Issue number two is, who says we could identify exactly where the Mizbeach stood? How are we going to know where the, because the Mizbeach could work, as we said earlier, the Mizbeach could still work today. If you built a new Mizbeach, you don't need the old one, you don't need, for that matter, the old menorah either, right? All the rumors about that in the Vatican they have somewhere buried the menorah. It doesn't really matter because we're not counting on that menorah. Right? We'll build another one. That's no problem. No problem. And so to the Mizbeach, you could build the only thing that can't be reproduced is the Aron. That's what the Menachos Chinuch says. The old Aron that was buried at the end of the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, right, which generated some interest recently, right? So that Aron is going to be, that was Moshe's Aron. That's the one even that was in the Beis HaMikdash, was the Aron built by Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, that Aron can't be reproduced. And that they say, the Menachos Chinuch says that Aron will be found and put into the eventual Beis HaMikdash. But the entire period of the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have an Aron. Right? So the Kelim is not the big issue. Right? So you say, we don't have the old Mizbeach. Big deal. Go build a new one. The question is, though, who says we could pick the spot? Because the Mizbeach has to be built exactly in the place where the old Mizbeach was. We have a Mesorah, it's brought in the Chazal, that the Mizbeach was built exactly on the place of the Akedas Yitzchak, and therefore, the Rambam brings this, and therefore, it would have to be exactly on that spot. That was the second issue that was raised. And the third issue that was raised was that in order for a carbon to be put on the Mizbeach, it has to be brought by a Kohen. And the question would be that over the years of the Golos, where there was a tremendous amount of confusion of Jews wandering from place to place, so who says that the Kohanim that we identify today, and this is not personally directed against anybody, but the question presents itself, that who says that we know for sure that the Kohanim that we identify as such are really Kohanim, with their best, with all best intentions, right? It could be that over the generations there was some confusion. The Klal Yisrael went through tremendous upheaval. I'll just tell you as a person, as an aside, a very dear friend of mine who was the son of a Holocaust survivor, so a fellow who I learned with, the Chavrus in Yeshiva, whose son happens to be learning in our Yeshiva right now. So I remember that when I first started to learn with him, the Chavrusa, he was called up to the Aliyah as Yisroel. He was called up to the regular Aliyah as Yisroel. And one day, I see he's called up as a Levi. He's called up to the Torah as a Levi. Right? Everyone's dream, right? You don't have to use the excuse that it's your aunt's yard site, right? If you want that Aliyah, you just tell them, get promoted, right? Find a way to become a Levi or a Kohen, and then you're in business, right? You get your share of Aliyahs, you could laugh at everybody else, no politics. So I said to him, how in the world did you become a Levi? So he said, sadly, he said that this is 1981, he said that they had the first world gathering of Holocaust survivors in Yerushalayim, and his father, who survived the war, but his entire family was killed out, his father had his bar mitzvah, became bar mitzvah in Auschwitz, which means that he went to the camps a year or two before then. His father, after the war, did not know what he was. He didn't, as a kid, he didn't pay attention to what was going on, and he didn't know what he was, so they went by the robe, they go by the majority, and assumed he was a Yisrael. But at the gathering of Holocaust survivors, his father went looking for relatives, unfortunately did not find any relatives, But he did find landslides. He found people from the town that he came from, and they had two witnesses who came forward and said that his father was called up to the Aliyah of Levi, and based on that he became a Levi. And to this day, he's a Levi. So the point is that, unfortunately, just an example of over the years of upheaval of the Golas, there's confusion. So it's to go ahead and go offer a carbon on the Mizbeach. You need a Kohen Miuchas, right? You need a person who's sure he's a Kohen. Who says we have that today? These were the three points that were registered. So, the biggest one, and I'm sorry we're over the time, we finished very shortly, the biggest issue is the issue of Tumah. Right, that's the one that comes to everybody's mind. How can we do this? You can't walk into the area of the Beis HaMikdash. It's impossible. We don't have a paraduma. It's impossible. So the answer to that is that that's not the biggest deal in the world, because, as we may recall from Hanukkah, right, there is a concept called Tumah Hutra B'Tzivlah, which means that the laws of Tumah are waived when they apply to the Tzibur and there's no other option. Meaning that, you know, this is the second most famous question on Hanukkah, right? Everybody comes Hanukkah, everybody knows the most famous question on Hanukkah, the Beis Yosef's question, that why do we have 8 nights of Hanukkah? One night wasn't a miracle because they had enough oil for one night, so we should only have 7 nights of Hanukkah. That's the most famous kasha. The second most famous kasha, which is maybe a little bit less known, but is found explicitly in the Pnei Yeshua's commentary to the Gemara, where he asks that why did they need a miracle at all? So what was the problem? The oil that they, it wasn't that they didn't have oil, they had oil. The problem was the oil was tumah. So the Pnei Yeshua says, big deal. Tumah hutra b'tzibur, right? That if it pertains to the whole Klal Yisrael, so they could use tumah oil. So why did Hashem have to make an ace for them? Right, this is the second most famous kasha on Hanukkah, which you could look there to see the way he answers it. Other people say different answers. But whatever the case may be, based on this, so you have this concept, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and therefore since today we don't have a Paraduma, and everybody's Tameh, and there's nothing you could do about it, so in reality it wouldn't be a problem. So you could go back, and you could build it, let's say you'll build the Mizbeach, right, and you'll say, no problem, go bring a carbon on the Mizbeach. That's the way they answered the first problem. The way they answered the second problem on the Makom HaMizbeach, now here it's tricky, and the reason why it's tricky is because there's a Gemara Maseches Zvachim, and I'm going to quote it inside to just in the interest of saving time, but the Gemara Maseches Zvachim says that when they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash in the days of Ezra, they had Nevi'im standing there. They had three Nevi'im, the three Nevi'im were Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, that they had three Nevi'im standing there pointing out what goes where, right? Where does all the furniture go, right? So they needed to know, and it says explicitly in the Gemara, they needed to know where is the Mizbeach built, and one of the Nevi'im was needed to point out that this is the place of the Mizbeach. This is the place, right? He had Ruach HaKodesh, he knew that this is the place of the Mizbeach. So, based on that, it would seem, again, we don't have Nevi'im, how are we going to know where the Mizbeach goes? So this point is hotly debated in the Achronim. There are those who say that that was only because when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was destroyed completely. There was nothing left. There was not a remnant. So nobody had any idea where anything was, and therefore they were like lost souls. But they say, this is mentioned in this country's Drishas Tzion, that when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so it wasn't quite on the same manner. For example, the Kotel Maravi, right, we know a little sense of direction we have, right? We have the Kotel Maravi, right? We know that was the western wall of the Har HaBayis, right? So therefore, it wasn't quite to the same extent, and therefore they want to say that it's possible, I didn't go through it, but this is very, very debated in the Achronim, that it could possibly be that somebody could know. There are those who say very strongly that we could not know, others who say we could. And as far as a Kohen Miuchas goes, the third problem, so that, they say, the answer that they attempt to give for this is that would not be a problem either, because for bringing karbonos, one could rely on a chazaka. One could rely on the fact that if a person is held to be a kohen, that's all it takes. Even though you say, well, how do you know? How do you know? Maybe you go up 10 generations, there was some confusion. It doesn't matter. In the halakha, we go by chazaka. Chazaka means that if the person is known to be a certain status and you have a doubt, from a doubt, we don't change his status. And therefore, if a person was known to be a Kohen, and he's held to be a Kohen, you say, but maybe not. If he's held to be a Kohen, he is a Kohen. And on this basis, They answer the 3 points. Now, I don't mean to pass this off as saying that this is muskam, this is hotly debated. If you look in the postgame, you could still see the smoke coming out from some of the very strongly worded tshuvas back and forth, or whether this is real, or whether this is dreams, but there were definitely people who said that theoretically it would be possible. However, I would just end off with one point, which is mentioned by one of the Achronim who responded in the negative, was a very famous person, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, wrote the Sfarim Aruch Lener on the Shas. So he also wrote Shas and Shuvah, is called Binyan Sion, and he makes the following point. He says that the reason why, I just omitted one point, and that is that when we say Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that means that for the purpose of the tzibur, you could waive the problem of tumah. That would only pertain to karbonos of the tzibur. That would only pertain to karbonos of the tzibur, meaning it would pertain to the karbon tamid, it would pertain to the karbon musaf, it would pertain to the karbon pesach, which even though it was brought by individuals, but the whole Kli Yisrael brought it, right? It would pertain to those. But individual karbonos, such as a karbon katas or karbon shlamim and things like that, that would not be. So the whole discussion, though, is at least the public karbonos. So let's go build a mizbeach, and we'll have yesterday Shabbos, instead of davening musaf, right? You would say, let's go bring the karbon musaf, no problem, right? We have the mizbeach. We'll bring the karbon tamid, we'll bring the karbon musaf, right? No problem. So the Aruch Lener in his Tshuvas Binyan Sion quotes a pasuk, which is a pasuk in the Tochach on Parshas B'chukosai, where Hashem says, "V'hashimosi es mikdashechem, v'lo ariach bereach nicholchachem," which means that Hashem says that one of the punishments that the Klal Yisrael were warned was going to happen is that I will totally destroy mikdashechem, the Beis HaMikdash, and I will not smell the reach nichoach, I will not smell the smells that come from the karbonos. So the Aruch Lener says that we know there's a Mishnah that tells us that a carbon that by the karbonos we find very often the expression is reach nichoach. Reach nichoach means that it should be a pleasant smell, so to speak, for Hashem, right? So the Aruch Lener says that if the pasuk is telling us, "V'hashimosi es mikdashechem," I will destroy the Beis HaMikdash, "V'lo ariach bereach nichochachem," and I will no longer smell the smell of your karbonos. Says the Aruch Lener that means that a mizbeach without the Beis HaMikdash won't accomplish anything because of the fact that even if you could bring a carbon, but Hashem is telling you that if Hashimosi is mikdashechem, if I destroy your mikdash, you won't have the reach nichoach. And if you don't have the reach nichoach, a carbon, the Mishnah tells himself as vacham, a carbon has to be brought as a reach nichoach. If you don't have that, then the carbon would be disqualified. And based on that, this argument is put forth by the Aruch Lener. You will say, so then what does it mean? They raise the question, then what is the Rambam talking about when the Rambam says that you could have a carbon without the mikdash? Right? So then the Rambam doesn't make sense. In other words, if he's right, so what's the Rambam referring to? The Rambam says that you could rely on the original Kedusha, and therefore you could have a mizbeach without a mikdash. So says the Aruch Lener, what that means is, that means if you were in the process of building the Beis HaMikdash, but you didn't get there yet, then you could have a mizbeach. And as proof of this, they say that when the second Beis HaMikdash was being built, it took them a very long time to build it, but the mizbeach was put into use right away. The karbonos were being brought long before the building was completed. So therefore, they say that that's what the Rambam means. When the Rambam says that you could have a mizbeach functioning without the Beis HaMikdash, that's what he's talking about. He means if the Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt, but if we continue in the status of destruction, which we have to do now because we don't have a Navi, so therefore the Chorban of the Mikdash will continue, to go ahead and just simply build the Mizbeach would not work, because Hashem says, "V'lo ariach bereach nichochachem," I will not smell the smell of your karbonos, which means that the carbon will not be accepted by Hashem. And on that basis, that's one of the arguments that's made by a number of people, and mainly in this Tshuvas Binyan Sion of the Aruch Lener. So there you have it, pretty much the whole issue discussed. But I will end off with one optimistic note, and that is that there are those who point out, I think the Aruch Lener himself says this, that not every carbon has the requirement of a Reach Nichoach. The words Reach Nichoach do not appear in connection with the carbon Pesach. The carbon Pesach does not need that. And then and that being the case, right, because you could ask the question that if the Aruch HaNer is correct that without the Mikdash the Karbonos don't get accepted, so what was Rabbeinu Yechiel, one of the Baalei Tosfos, thinking that he says, let's go to Yerushalayim, build the Mizbeach, it's not going to help. So they say, and I believe the Aruch HaNer says this also, that what he meant was just for the purpose of the Karbon Pesach. Karbon Pesach is no requirement of Reach Nichoach, and therefore, if you put all of what we said together, and you pass them like the Rambam, that the Kedusha still remains, and that you could have the Mizbeach without a Mikdash, theoretically, it would be possible to go ahead and rebuild the Mizbeach, and at least for the Klal Yisrael to bring the Karbon Pesach. This opinion is not muskam, it's not universally accepted. There were people who debated this also based on other things which were way over the time already, so I'm not going to get into. But there are people who thought this. There were Gedolei Olam who thought this, the Chassam Sofer thought this, other people thought this. So, I don't know, in today's tough economy, you know, when the hotels in Eretz Yisrael are looking to generate some business for Pesach, it might be an idea for somebody to inform them, if you heard this share, you might want to give them a call and say, you know, why don't you see what you could do about maybe we could get something going to rebuild the Mizbeach, and maybe too late for this year, and hopefully Mashiach should come before next year, but in the worst case scenario, maybe you could offer people that if you come to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, if you pass up the Bahamas, you may have the chance to bring the Karbon Pesach.